could all take right. one thing away.
Good day, beer planners. We're back today for another episode of the Beer Plans Podcast. Yay! So look, I know we normally have some intro music for y'all, but we're tired of that beef shit and that's dominating it. So we just gonna raw dog this shit. So all of our
and not pull out. We staying in.
What does pull out mean?
We committed.
Always.
We committed.
Good luck with that. Depending on what state you in, you might have a problem. Just saying.
That's true.
Just saying.
I got a point.
All right. Different time.
You ain't wrong when you're right.
So speaking of all of the shenanigans, listen, we have a rapid fire, another episode of the rapid fire shit, right?
Oh, I love this.
All right, so let's re-explain the rules. Mostly for me and Flash.
Yo, facts though.
So we got four topics for y'all that we think is important, that we think y'all going to love. It's going to be 15 minutes each.
Can we?
The person who brought the topic to the table will do the intro.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we'll get some thoughts. We'll get some laughs. We might get some insightful shit. But look, whatever y'all get, we know y'all fuck with it.
Can we give shout out to Melodies for this format?
Hey. Shout out to Melodies for this format. If I wasn't already double fisting drinks pause, then I would take
No diddy, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. No diddy, no drink. All
right. So without further ado, let's hop right into the shenanigans.
All
right. The first shenanigans, we gonna flip it up on y'all. We gonna mess up y'all head tops. That's not a ooh. Reference to Drake.
Ooh,
but
favorite type of porn apparently.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Wow. What's the guy said? What do you want me to do?
I don't even know what you're referencing right now, sir.
Oh, it's interview. He said his favorite porn is top porn.
Who's porn?
So okay.
Wait, what?
What?
It got me. I'm
the boy. We're never getting advertisers.
I'm sorry.
He's talking about the boy.
The boy.
I know. I'm gonna just drop their sponsorship. Like, nope.
Boy Wonder. I do this every single time.
Doing the Her Laws promotional tour.
Toronto, I got you.
apparently, Howard Stern asked him what.
I got them.
What his favorite type of porn was, and he said top porn. I never understand
what
that.
What the fuck is top porn?
That's I don't even know.
I don't understand that because I can't stand that part of a porn. But whatever. By the way, shout out to Party Next Door. Do you know what the cover of his album is?
Right? Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yo, it's a chick bent over, yo.
It's basically a chick getting back shots. Basically.
I'm you're like, to get him.
Album is fire, by the way.
Get him. Really,
I never liked him.
You enjoy good toxic music like me, if you are a fan of, I don't know, The Weeknd, Brent Division, please check out this Party Next Door album. We are not paid by OVO, as Flash can contend with you.
He will check his bank account. OVO's top op over here.
Some of y'all's not. Some of y'all not paid by OVO.
We can't speak for DJ V-Law.
Yeah, so some of y'all not paid by OVO.
But yeah, that aside, let's hop right into it. The first topic on deck is this TikTok thing. And Flash, go ahead and intro this. Give us a 2-minute synopsis of what's going on with why TikTok may or may not be banned in the United States.
All right, so disclaimer, I'm going to try to speak back so I'm not yelling in your ear. I'm working on my voice range because I be getting pissed. My voice goes, I know. So, that being said, I'm going to lean back
in. Therapy or something.
So I get it, you know what I mean? But that being said, two things. I'm still voting for Joe Biden in those next election 2024. I'm all for him, and I'm all for supporting him because we got to do what we got to do. But that being said, you mean to tell me this government that we got, out of all the fucking problems we got, the one thing y'all niggas can agree on is banning TikTok? Get the fuck out of here, bro.
Yes.
We got homelessness, medical problems, fucking street problems. Our bridge got crashed into, but the one thing y'all motherfuckers can agree on is TikTok? Get the fuck out of here, bro. Like, I ain't got, like, and this is bipartisan. This ain't even on those Republican Democrat type stuff. I find it fucking irritating.
Yeah.
Really, really irritating that y'all willing to let the government get shut down. Y'all can't get an agree, so we can't get our checks. But the one thing y'all niggas can agree on is we want to ban TikTok. Man, y'all need to get the fuck out of here with that.
What's their reasoning? It's because they went
it's a back to US. So wait, it's a Chinese owned app, but like they told them, like if you sell all your shares to America or majority shares to America, you can keep it up.
I'm gonna give you one better. Their logic was it's a security risk.
Yeah, that's what.
And which but comes to me saying no, fuck out of here because if it's a security risk, why are you trying to buy it? It was really a security risk. Do away with it. But not for nothing, last election, y'all had issues with...
If they bought it, then they would be able to control it.
No. That's bullshit. Not to you. Mm-hmm. I'm saying to people who are saying that shit, because my thing is, between Instagram and Facebook, we had more election interference in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Y'all ain't fixed that. Mm-hmm. So why y'all trying to fix TikTok? And what it comes down to, in my mind, is two things. It's a $1 billion industry. Y'all want that bread. You don't want to be able to communicate what's going on between the worlds. Because y'all know TikTok is the one thing that goes between countries. Because Instagram is American. Mm-hmm. Facebook is American. TikTok's not. Mm-hmm. So when something happens, y'all do some shit y'all not supposed to. If y'all can control TikTok, y'all can say, oh, look, we're going to shut this down, allow this to go, shut this down, allow that to go. But y'all don't own TikTok. So y'all can't do that shit now. So to me, that's what it seems more like. Y'all haven't even mentioned what the fucking security risk is, bro. Like, y'all fucking capping and it's annoying. And the amount of blatancy that y'all doing it with is fucking annoying, bro. Like, again.
And then they roll it up into two other laws. Like,
for the aid for Ukraine and the aid for Gaza. And y'all snuck that shit in.
Oh, right. Taiwan on
there? Yeah. They snuck that shit in. And I'm like, yo, it's fucking annoying, bro. Beefing,
right? Yeah, Taiwan. China, I think, threatens to invade them. So, Flash, can I say one thing?
What's that?
Welcome.
Carry on. Nah, like, yo, like, and again, Vinny knows I'm always gonna be pro Joe until this election is done. But yo, I'm gonna call real how real goes, and that's why I give Drake fans a problem. But that's beside the point. But y'all know that I'm a Joe Biden supporter. But again, keeping it 100, yeah. I'm a Joe Biden supporter, absolutely. And I'm a Democratic supporter. But I'm gonna call you up when y'all doing some bullshit.
And it's some bullshit.
It really is. 100%. Like, I'm not going to cap on that. Like, yo, the fact y'all going to vote on this shit, but y'all can't fix other problems first? Yeah. It showed me y'all want some greedy type shit.
And I was already thinking, like, I don't know why I never thought of this before. I guess maybe just come with just growing up and just waking up some. But it's like, you can't sit there and think that all these other countries don't have issues with propaganda and their countries trying to control what propaganda their citizens see. Like, why wouldn't we think America would be trying to do the same thing? Like, why did I don't know why I never thought of that. Like, just like any other country trying to control the media, only want their citizens to see a certain side of their country.
Russia gets talked about that all the time.
America do the same thing. We just naming it different.
Yeah. Like, and can I put my tinfoil hat on real quick?
Okay. Uh-oh.
Please, so, let me grab my tinfoil hat. I'm always down for a good conspiracy.
Hat for hat.
Everybody put the tinfoil hats on, right? So it's interesting to me because a couple of things. Like I told you before, like I urge everybody to go watch this documentary called The Swamp, right?
I gotta finish it. I'm gonna try to get
it. It's number one on my list.
Yeah, yes, I say watch that because the reason that I love this so much is because, again, you get to watch the ops get interviews from their point of view. And one of the things they really talk about is like, yo, even if we want to get these things done, our donors don't. And I got this money I got to raise by the end of this quarter. So if I don't get a raise, I'm suspended. So I have to answer to my donors.
The business of politics.
Facts. Absolutely. So that being said, essentially what's being said is, even if I disagree with this, if my donor says I need to, then I'm going to. Mm-hmm. And what I believe is, personally, and I have no proof backing this up, but this is personally what I believe, when they had that whole hearing, when they basically chastise Facebook, Instagram, like, well, what are you doing? And what is this? What is that? They had a whole, they scold them in public. But then when it was all said and done, they put them behind closed doors, like, look,
you know,
how do we get in on this shit?
Yeah, we had to make it look good for the public.
Right,
but.
Right, exactly. It's like, yo, how do we get in on this? And what I believe, honestly, is the case is, they're like, look, I will give y'all a share in this, but you got to get rid of them. Because they dies. So you got to get rid of TikTok because, realistically, Facebook, Instagram, we keep that in us. It's American made. We will all be billionaires if we get rid of them. So I think essentially that's what they did. They were like, all right, cool, bet, say less. So what they did was they were like, look, TikTok, you have this much amount of time to get to an American company, or we're going to let you go. But saying it's a security risk, to me, that doesn't make any sense because if it's a security risk, why are you trying to buy it? You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, the end of the day,
but I think if they're signing security risk and they're trying to buy it, I would think that's like, okay, well, it's going to be protected if it's ran by us. Mm-hmm. So it's no security risk if it's run by us.
My question is, they do that with... Go ahead.
Because here's the problem. I wouldn't really have much of an issue with the quote-unquote TikTok ban if they was consistent. Again, call back to the Drake and Kendrick thing. Consistency. Mm-hmm. But if they was content, if they was,
how much you have it, go ahead.
We never gonna get.
I'm gonna let you have it. Go ahead.
But if they was consistent with like regulating the American social media platforms, and then it would, when they say, hey, a foreign adversary owning this platform that has such inroads in the American public is a threat, and so if we switch it to having it be owned by an American company or a non-adversary foreign entity, would allow us to better regulate it. I would be cool with that.
Why are you trying to regulate it, though? That's the problem. No, why are you regulating it?
I'm fine. Sometimes some things need regulation. I do.
Social media doesn't need regulations on that front. When we talk about different stuff with different countries, it shouldn't be regulation. It should be what's the truth versus what's not the truth.
So what I'm saying is this. I'm not debating that. What I'm saying is this. I think if they were consistent about the regulation they did, whether I agree with it or not, I'd be cool with how they do this. If they showed the quote unquote dangers of, and which this shit probably not even going, this shit probably gonna be shadow banned on TikTok,
on YouTube, shadow banned.
Facts. I'm making some people knocking at my door, like, come with us. Yeah, it's all good.
They're gonna wear owl heads.
If they were six.
I thought it was a government situation. What's going on?
Trey is the
government.
Right.
Flash
his rendition. He's like, where am I? And all he hears is, man's like. But no, if they were consistent about how they regulated social media in general, look, hey, you standing on what you believe the thing should be. But the problem is when you try to leverage the legal system and you know what I'm saying, and our legislature in order to essentially rendition ownership of a company, seemingly to be in the ownership of people who are American nationals instead of Chinese nationals. And the reason I say that is because here's the thing. If there was some fuck shit going on with ByteDance, and maybe there is, where's the information?
Right.
Where's the
proof? Exactly. Exactly. You know
what I'm saying? But that doesn't seem, and here's the thing. I ain't never registered for TikTok. Me I don't either. Use TikTok. So I'm a neutral party in this. I know Flash, you use TikTok, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I look at it.
And here's and
but there's people who make their livelihoods on it.
And can I say this?
There's people that make facts. Like KB Fabe makes his livelihood
on it. He get a job.
Wow.
I'll say that. Now I ain't going to come. They have jobs.
He has a job.
You're so anti, like, influencer. You're
biased. So, let me say this.
Don't fucking give me that crap.
We're off camera. But, like,
don't give me that fucking crap.
Boomer. Cut him a boomer.
Mm-hmm. He does this and makes millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Facts.
Wait, what is that?
So you now too fast, so you wouldn't get that. You wouldn't get that reference.
Oh no! I'm missing out on that joke. Oh my gosh!
But no, how will
help me? I think it's about
how will I sleep?
Like I think because another piece of this, I guess it's a slight part of this is like with the whole TikTok shit. Like so, there was a thing where like a particular record label, UMG Music Group, they just recently renegotiated it, but it was for a good month where they took all the access to music off of TikTok.
Yeah, so UMG,
UMG. So like a lot of your, you know, Drake's included, others.
Bingo.
But anyway, point being, because you know a lot.
DJ Melodies.
Money Long. Yeah, but
bingo.
But point being, right? So obviously we all know that TikTok moves the needle a lot when it comes to music these days. Like in terms of like,
that's true.
You know what I'm saying? So I think
what y'all like
songs popping.
Yeah, a lot of songs pop initially on TikTok before they blow up everywhere else, right? So I think like I think once this TikTok ban shit started happening, record label was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, well, we need to renegotiate whatever money they make off of this. I don't know exactly the exact figures. But basically, essentially, they banned their music from TikTok for about a month. It's been like a month or two at the most. And they just recently renegotiated, I think, last week.
They're back. Yeah, they're back now. The artists are coming back on TikTok.
And can I say this, too, though? And like,
it's about money. It's all about... even with this shit, I think... I guess they want America to control this shit.
It does feel like the politicians are saying fuck your First Amendment right as far as free speech goes.
And that's my problem though. And like again, this is some bipartisan shit. Like yo, like universally as Congress, y'all are fucking us over, and it feels so infuriating because I'm like yo. It's not that y'all feel like it's a danger.
And y'all saw and about like Gen Z wanting to vote this election.
Yeah, and like
ISO on me for a second. All right, I just want to say this for a second. For people who haven't listened to this podcast, the fact that this motherfucker Flash is taking this position is huge. Pause. Because like what he's saying is that like there are scenarios where the people that you elect will go against the interest that you have.
No, 100%. Like I'm not saying that they won't. I'm not saying that because you elect them that they can't fuck you over. My thing is, at the end of the day, when you vote and you gotta place your bets, and then when they fuck up, at least you can hold them accountable. That's a whole nother topic. Right now, I'm gonna fuck all these people because they pissing me off.
Here we go.
So, that being said, with this TikTok shit, the one thing that I noticed, like with Afghanistan, when they did the pullouts, on TikTok, you saw people hanging on the planes, falling off. You saw people trying to get there and try to chase them down. And you saw fucking, I don't wanna misname the terrorist group, but I'm gonna just say the terrorist group. A terrorist group coming in.
You want to make sure you get the terrorists right?
Just saying, no, because I don't want somebody coming in and be like, no, it wasn't Al Qaeda. It was, Taliban, ISIS, or it was, ISIS. ISIS. So that's why I say I'm not going. Right, that's why I'm like, I'm not trying to miss.
I think it was ISIS. I think Obama droned the fuck out of them. But I think it was Taliban or the other motherfuckers.
Right. Al-Qaeda. It was some terrorists at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? But
it's, so says George W. Bush.
But that being said, like in seconds on TikTok, it was there. You saw people hanging on the plane, yo, please save us. Yo, get us out of here. It wasn't on Facebook, it wasn't on Instagram, it was on TikTok. And you got to see within seconds of every mistake that they made getting pulled off. And to me personally, I think that's why they want to control it. And the money, because again, it's a $1 billion business, which again, because again, if you really feel it's a threat, why are you trying to buy it if you feel like it's a threat? Because not like the data is there, right? So like we sitting back saying like, yo, TikTok is getting, you consider it's an information breach, then say stop TikTok. You're not saying that. You said I still want to buy it. So what you're saying is I want to control it. I want it in my power.
Yes.
Not saying I'm trying to get rid of it. So to me, the fact that you want to buy it tells me everything I need to know. Basically telling me that, no, I'm not trying to, it's not a corruption thing. I just want to be the one in charge of fucking everybody over.
Right.
Not that I want to stop you from fucking everybody over.
How dangerous is it if you just want to shift ownership?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. So what's the takeaway from all this TikTok banning shit?
My takeaway is like, yo, listen. End of the day, I get what Vinny's saying. Doing your best interest. You know what I mean? Listen and just pay attention to politics, bro. Because they give you everything you need to know. So you're just
playing in our face.
Yeah. So just do, I agree, do what's best for you. But also pay attention to politics. And what they do and how they move, because unless we do something about it, they're going to keep trying to fuck us over. So you got to be really vigilant on how they move and be willing to do something about it.
All right. Anybody else got any other takeaways?
Nah, I think that was it.
And that's the bottom line. Flash
said so.
So, our next topic is some school shit. So...
But I don't want to go to school. Oh, sorry. That was a different memory. Sorry.
That was another thing.
I'm sick tomorrow.
Says OVA.
So, DJ Melodies, what you got? What do you make of this school shit? What's going on?
So, I sent a video to the group of this fight that happened at a school, and where a teacher was involved trying to break it up and was injured. Fights at school, be teacher trying to break it up, get hit in process. You see the old person all on the floor wailing and shit like that. So this kind of is on the back of the Project Baltimore stuff that we've been talking about in the last couple episodes. it's just getting deeper and deeper and deeper. So now they came out with a list of like all these different high school and middle schools and how many students have been arrested in within the school year, and the numbers are crazy. This is all county schools right now, but the numbers are looking crazy. Like, you got one school that had 17 arrests for last school year.
Out of how many students, though? Like, out of what, 300, 400 students?
Yeah, that's 500? A factor. Yeah. That is a factor, but it's still, it's like...
That's just the fact that the kids are getting arrested.
Yeah, and it's already going to the pipeline. That speaks to the pipeline, school, prison pipeline. Like, it's just, that's the next step is arrest. Like, I remember when I was a kid and I got into a school fight, and I was put on probation. I had to do community service. Like, it wasn't
for
no...
For a fight?
Yes, it wasn't no meet with the parents and try to figure it out. It was straight probation.
Wow.
You going to the free
school? I thought you meant the school was like, you know, you got to do this so you won't.
Don't fight again for the next year.
Yeah, or not get suspended. That's insane.
No,
man.
And I only been, and that was the only school fight I've ever had, and it was a white girl.
You know. Oh, so you deserved
it. So it was a racial issue.
So you deserved it.
And she called me a nigger. It was,
That's warranted. That's warranted.
Karate chop you in the throat, my brother.
Did you give Omar, please.
Drake fan. That's the Drake fan for you.
That's the Drake fan. Half white just coming to body.
Did you pick up her wallet or did you take it?
She was the aggressor. I defended myself.
Sure she was.
But that's my issue with that, though, bro. Like, and even that, he's talking about arresting students. Like, yo, at what point are you going to try to keep these students out of the, like you say, the prison, the pipe, I mean, prison, pipeline. Yeah, prison school pipeline. It's like, yo, like, at the end of the day, yo, you fought. Like, yo, give them, that's what suspensions are for. There should be so many steps before you go to arrest. And again, that's why I hate Project Baltimore with a passion. Because what they do is, they take small issues, magnify them so it makes it seem like it's a global issue and it's not really that deep. The same with the Squeegee Boys. That could have been contained by just police officers saying you can't be on this corner, but they make it seem like it's a whole health crisis or a whole global crisis, the crime crisis, and now you got to do something about this now. They do this with everything with schools. Again, the whole thing with the schools and the grades, I get it. Grade changing is a bad thing, but yo, that could be handled on that level. They make it seem like, yo, they're coming for you. The same thing Fox News does on a global level for white people. Like, they're coming for you. You better do something because they're coming for you. It's like, yo, I get it. It's unfortunate, but you can handle it on a lower level.
I think all those issues.
I'm not saying they're not issues.
Boy shit is a big issue. I'm not just starting to talk about that now because they're coming back.
I hear you. I'm not saying they're not issues, but do you deserve to get locked up? Should you listen to what the police are telling you? And that's the problem, because the way they're talking is that by you squeezing, now you get locked up. Not because some other situation happened before then, because you squeezing, now you get locked up.
Yes.
And that's the part that they're trying to push, and that's the problem I have with it. I'm not saying it's not a problem. I agree. I get it. But my thing is, there's levels to handling situations. And Project Baltimore always makes it seem like it's a 10 when it's really at a 5.
So, with the... Let me speak, not all.
Fair. And I'll give you that. But from what I've seen, a lot of stuff can be handled on a 5 level or a mid level, but they make it seem like, oh, this is you. And again, mark my words, again, I'm time stabbing it. They're doing the same thing with Baltimore they're doing in DC. They are making everything seem magnified. They're trying to get the over policing thing going on. They're magnifying everything so that DC could be like Baltimore, where when you get to the city, everything is nice, pretty, white, classified. And the further you go out, exactly. But they need something to rationalize it. That's why you got them scaring you 24/7. So just say that. I'll put it out there. So you know.
I lie to you, bro. It might be a one-off, but they shoot motherfuckers in decades in DC on Connecticut.
But mind you, the murder rate is down right now in Baltimore. I hear you. I'm about to talk about Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
So the murder rate is down in Baltimore right now. But what they're doing is they're not acknowledging the murder rate. Hold on. I hear you. No. But listen what I'm saying. Last year, when the murder rate is up, that's all they kept talking about. The murder rate is skyrocketing. The murder rate is high. The murder rate is crazy. Now that the murder rate is down, they're not talking about the murder rate. They're talking about, violent crime is up. Now that the murder rate is down, but no, violent crime is up. So carjacking, switch, and all that stuff I get, but at the end of the day, they're not acknowledging, hey, look, you know what? Our murder rate is down, but then this is going up. What they're saying is, murder rate is high. It drops. They don't say nothing. But now, oh, carjack is high. Carjack is high. Carjack is high. And it's like they're constantly fear-mongering you into getting yourself and your family and everybody else out of Baltimore so they can move in. And that's the devious part of it that makes me frustrated, because I'm like, I see what y'all doing. And that's why Brandon Scott is fussing with him about it. He's like, yo, I see what y'all doing. Like, right now, you drive through Baltimore City. You don't tell me you see a police on every other corner. It's a police car almost every other corner in the city. But they're not
tough. They for the county then. They know
that's what No. But hold on. But that's my point. What they're doing is they're going to move everybody from the city out to the county. And then when the county comes in, once they get everybody finally out of the city, then they're going to focus on the county. And then they can move everybody out past the county, out to Calvert, and everybody else. So what's going to happen is the poorer you are, they're going to move you out further and further and further from Baltimore. And then that's where you're going to sit.
Let me tell you something.
And essentially, that's what they're trying to do.
Let me tell you something. Ain't no way y'all Latrobe niggas is making y'all way to Calvert County.
Nope. Singer?
I said ain't no way y'all Latrobe niggas
is making y'all going nowhere without a bus line.
How much you want back? Give it about 10 years. Give it 10 years.
So, well, that aside, what I was saying is, so back to the
school. So you telling me where the Trump flags is right now in Maryland is going to be some hood?
No. That's not what I'm saying.
They're out there a little bit.
No. I can speak that. So what I'm saying is, the downtown now where the harbor is, right now is going to be Joe Wall Street that's walking down making $200,000 a year, going to be able to walk down Pratt Street all the way to Lombard and everywhere else without a worry. And it's going to keep going. And the John Hopkins, where it's at right now.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing. Those nurses died to me to walk around without a worry. So, yeah. But then the further you go out Pulaski, the further you go out Essex, as you get all the way out.
That's true.
That's, it's going to be more and more it's now. Like, they're going to push all the troublemakers.
Like that a little bit now. Like, exactly. The city has basically been kind of.
Exactly. And that's why I hate Project Baltimore.
There's more. Because that's. Section 8 being like in certain areas.
Exactly. And that's what they're doing. Because right now, Section 8 is all around county. Towson, White Marsh, Parkville. Section 8 is out there now. It used to be in Latrobe. They moving them out. And they moving out further and further and further out into the county till they ain't got to worry about them no more. And they can do exactly what the Baltimore they did to D.C. So, and that's why I hate Project Baltimore, because Project Baltimore facilitates that by the media. And if you don't live in Baltimore or you don't know, they don't come to you, and it's going to look like it's the worst place in the world. Because so you devalue that shit and then you buy it up and do what the fuck you want to do. And that's the problem they have it now, which is why they put that dollar home buying thing out, because it's supposed to be like, all right, well, look, we're doing this when we're really doing that. Because the one thing they can tell you, and you ain't got to take my word for it, you can look the shit up. Vinny, correct me if I'm wrong, but right now the issue they have is that banks are buying up all the homes. So they're looking at it like, yo, you can't fucking buy up all the homes after you kicking these motherfuckers out. So
point of information to that. So they gave a window or a grace period for regular motherfuckers
right.
to buy quote unquote dollar homes, heavy air quotes on right. dollar homes. And after that, then institutional, in heavy quotes, institutional buyers could buy them. By institutional is what Flash is talking about, like banks and, you know, people, like high liquid people who have the assets to invest in these areas.
Exactly. So what y'all don't get, those banks and big business will. So essentially, that's what they're doing. So my only point with that is this Project Baltimore stuff, it's part of a bigger problem, but it's very, very, very intentional on something they report.
So, question, how does this relate to the school shit?
My point being with the school stuff, and I'm sorry, this is my last point. With the school stuff, it's their next boogeyman. They got that boogeyman thing, oh, Baltimore City schools are out. Oh, yeah, it's terrible. Keep your kids from there, because, again, it's their way of devaluing the area, so they can buy that shit up cheap.
Okay.
But,
Melodies?
Went somewhere else.
No, that's a good. But I think.
With
but
that
I,
being yeah. said, I still think it is an issue. The school system is an issue. Like, you know, could be playing on our heartstrings to a certain degree with that, but it still is an issue. There is a lot of violence in school. There is a lot of kids that's distracted and not really paying attention and going to school to be in school and all that. And we're having issues in neighborhoods because of that.
Yeah.
So that is like it's fucked up that. To take a real issue that people really care about and then also spin it on some weird shit because you're trying to
it's not
flip
it's
the city or the county. Reason. Yeah, it's that's, you know, that and that's happening across the board on a lot of different shit, but yeah. I don't know. I still feel like we got to still pay attention to
yeah,
these
absolutely.
Schools.
No, I mean, I will say, obviously we have two people in the room here who have children who are school age, so
that's,
this is different for you. Well, yeah, who are like, and, well, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I don't, I guess the question is, like, is shit now worse than, really worse than it was back in the
day? I just tell you, last week, so I'm, like, I'm on my, the board of my neighborhood, the community association board of my neighborhood, and we meet every month. We just had an annual meeting with the district councilman, Mike Ertl, and, I forgot the other lady, I forgot her. But I did a presentation on the schools, and I put her on the spot and made her explain what's going on with these schools, like the three schools that's in our neighborhood. And she was explaining how they're trying to do this with the elementary school, they're trying to do this with the middle school, and trying to do that with the high school, and then a couple other schools in there too. And I'm like, it felt good to kind of challenge her in that way, and they was actually at the meeting to say something about it.
Props to you for that, man.
Is something really going to come of it?
Who knows? I don't know. This is what we talk about, where, like, people were, like, putting their money where their mouth is, and, like, you know, not just bitching amongst your family and friends and talking shit on social media, like, being about it in real life. So, shout out to you for that.
And I second what Mr. Brown was saying. Props to you for, like, you know, pressing them and really, like, holding their feet to the fire. And, you know, and to that, I mean, I would just implore anybody that's in that city, yo, hold them accountable so you can get results. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, you took time out of your day. We already talked about how busy you are and stuff you got going on. So I know it took time to really put that presentation together. So my thing is, we want to make sure that when we take time to put these presentations together, we get results behind it. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want you, if you taking time to put a presentation together for them, I don't want you just nodding, I know, I understand. No. Listen to what I'm saying and let's get results behind it. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the thing that as a group we got to do as a collective, because if we don't, like I told you before, like
Kathy Forbes, that's what I
mean. There we go. Sure. So it's just about making sure we get results behind that. Because what I don't want you doing is getting paid to sit there and listen to me appear to look intent. No. I want to make sure that you... Exactly. I want you to know what I'm telling you. Pay attention to what I'm telling you so we can actually get some results behind
that. That's a good point, man. But I was going to say, like, you know, I think the thing that is... What I guess say is, like, the thing that I think is worse, that is compared to, like, when we were in high school and stuff, is obviously kids, like, have their phones. And they have social media. And they're able to record everything nowadays. So I'm assuming that's a big part of this. And maybe that might even be influencing, like, why there may be an actual increase in violence. I don't really know if that's really true or not. I don't have the numbers to speak to that. But I'm assuming if that's the angle, is that a factor, right? Because, you know, most of these kids, you know, when a fight breaks out, you know, ain't nobody rushing to break it up. It's like, let me get this shit off. We're going to record this shit. And I'm going to put it on my...
And, I'm not sure about how kids... Right now, like the Gen, what is it?
Gen Z.
How they say, yeah, you, that's logical, but fuck it. Like, they really do got that mind frame. It's like, we know we shouldn't be doing this shit, but fuck it. Yeah. And it's like, when you competing against that, that's hard as shit.
Yeah.
But to that point, like, again, when I hear their counterpoints, I'm like, damn, I can't even argue with you, because it's like, yo, as adults, what y'all doing to the housing market? As adults, what y'all doing to the environment? As adults, what y'all doing on Social Security?
What do we have to look forward
to? Exactly. So you're like, yo, y'all fussing at us, but y'all not holding up y'all end. And I'm like, you know what?
Absolutely.
And we low key feeling like all this schooling ain't gonna amount to nothing. Because if you go anything past high school, it's gonna cost you.
I mean, outside, absolutely. I mean, that, and you got AI coming in. So it was like, you can't even promise me that if I get this degree. Exactly. Absolutely. So, I mean,
it's a lot of factors.
They got some valid points. You know what I'm saying? They definitely got some valid points.
So, what's the takeaway from all this school shit?
I think the takeaway is definitely you gotta put some action to it. Like, if you really give a fuck, try to do whatever you can do in your community, locally, whatever you can do to try to make a difference if you really give a fuck. Also, don't let one news site be your source of all information. Absolutely. Like, you know, have multiple news sites, articles, whatever you gotta do to research on your stuff. Just don't get everything from one news site, because there is element of fear mongering with these news sites and who they are controlled by, and you know what political team they on. So that's another takeaway. And I think
you wrapped that up pretty perfectly. We're gonna keep our eyes on, like, obviously, like, this has kind of been like, if y'all been listening, this is the thing we're kind of reporting on locally, like, you know, what's going on with Baltimore school system. So we're gonna keep following this.
That's the bottom line, because DJ Melody says.
Oh my God! You say that, everybody.
Yeah. And that's the bottom line. I ain't mad at it.
On to some messy shit, Mr. Brown. You said that a festival, Lovers and Friends Festival. Apparently, somehow found their way to figuring out how
no
to
Little John
the new Fire Fest.
Maybe I'm not going that far to call them scammers like some people are. But all right, so whatever. Because the concert did happen like within the past couple. There's been at least two concerts, right? So let me give. Okay, so if you don't know what Lovers and Friends is, right? This is like a new music festival that's kind of spanned within the post COVID era. So and when it basically Lovers and Friends Fest, it caters to millennials specifically, I'll say, because it's basically 2000s late 90s artists headline this event.
Where is it?
In Vegas. So it's in Las Vegas. I think the first one was in 2020 or 2021.
Okay.
Probably 2021, not 2020. But yeah, this is like a new festival that's been kind of created post-COVID era. And then what happened this year, literally this weekend. So this year they only had it for one day. And they had a shitload of artists scheduled to perform at this fest. Mm-hmm.
They gotta like pay them?
Yeah, So I'm assuming so. But anyway, point being,
I feel like it's about to be part of the problem.
Look, yeah, so anyway, if you look, this is like the clarifier for all the artists. I'm just going to give some examples: Usher, Janet Jackson, Lil Wayne, Snoop Dogg, Alicia Keys, Backstreet Boys,
Usher, Lil Wayne on one card. That's already
Whistle Party, Nas, Ludacris, Nelly, Mary J. Blige, TLC, Ciara, T-Pain, Ashanti, Akon, Neo. It's a huge list of people.
How much is a ticket?
I don't know exactly how much a ticket. They were going for a bit of money. You know what I'm saying? So all these, now mind you, all these artists were scheduled to perform one day. That's the crazy.
Did they have multiple stages?
Yeah, that's how it was going to be set. It was basically five different stages, and each. So some artists are going to be on one stage. You know, they had it broke. They were scheduled
up like that.
Yeah, the way
that's kind of smart though.
The festivals doing.
Yeah, it's kind of smart.
It's multiple stages with live festivals, but like.
I don't know.
But they're usually at least 2-3 days.
If I don't give a fuck about TLC, then I want to see Usher.
Right, yeah, if you saw the schedule, it's like, you got to hush over, you got to run over to a whole other section to go see somebody else. And it's like, the way they had it set this year was particularly weird. But anyway, the reason I'm talking about it is, so, it was scheduled for yesterday, the 4th, the concert was scheduled for yesterday. Friday, I feel like it was Friday night, the Lovers and Friends Festival put out a statement that we're canceling the show this year due to the weather concerns. Essentially, I guess what happens is Vegas.
They only had one date?
Yeah, it was only one day.
That don't even make sense.
Yeah, that's the crazy. So anyway, I think the reason for the cancellation was that there was a weather issue where it was a wind storm that was expected. There was going to be like 50, 60 mile per hour winds. Okay. So that was the reason given.
That was the reason given
for the cancellation. Mm-hmm. And I've seen, you had some people on social media like talking about like, nah, shit, Vegas is, you know, and there's people who are in Vegas who are reporting, like, the wind ain't that bad, and, you know, like, people on Twitter, so, you know, a lot of people, so
I'm
like,
here right now, I'm chilling,
you know what I'm saying, so, but,
lick your finger, put it in there, it's not that
so,
bad,
but obviously,
got a little flower leaf on the ground, and see, it ain't going nowhere,
obviously, like, so obviously, this is a huge, this is like a recent festival that's had success, and, you know, a lot of people traveled from, like, all over the country, some people came from like out of the country.
Oh my
God. You know, to come to the same spot. You got all these great artists, all these great late 90s, 2000 artists. Like this is literally my era of music. I would have
days to refund them.
Yeah, it's gonna take. They said only, and the only thing they get a refund on is a ticket for the concert.
If you bought it from the direct, that. Yeah.
But yeah, I realize people spend money on flights, hotels.
That's not my problem.
And the that's up to the hotel if they're gonna want to. Give you a refund or not, or like,
and they
you know, you know, yeah, you know, or like, you know what I'm saying, or in your flight, you ain't getting the money back for the flight. The airline's like, that ain't my shit.
Here's my inner Trump come in. I'm like, yo, bro, like, I'm supposed to put the tickets you bought. I can't promise you, like, the fact I can't pay you for your. Time that you paid the babysitter. I can't pay you for the gas money you spent. I can't pay you for the hotel fees.
It's a loss of money for a lot of people. Not even the artists. Like I saw like a video. There was some little because some people took the whole thing was fake. And I saw like,
but they probably still had to pay though.
The artists got paid. I did see one video. Somebody pulled us a video from a hotel room where allegedly you could see.
Fuck that guy.
He was in the ceiling. He was laying on the floor.
Now with a regular person. It was a regular person from the ankle getting on escalator.
That's all I'm saying.
It was a regular person. Like they was from their hotel room had the view of where the actual venue was.
Right.
I think what they were saying was allegedly it was you could see a video of some. It was Usher doing a sound check.
Can I comment?
Show.
No, it's yours. Can I?
No,
please.
I like taking a man.
All right.
Yeah, but it was a video. Of, okay, but point being, it was a video of like Usher doing a sound check, and then you can see in the video somebody going to him, telling him something. He like goes like, oh, like you can see, you can clearly he has a reaction to it.
Mm-hmm. Can you know I say this?
So like, you're good. So I think it wasn't just the people who got affected, like the fans going to the show. Apparently the artist was like, oh wait a minute, what? Why, you know? So like, I don't know. So now you got people calling this a fire festival.
I would, yes.
You know,
pretty fire festival.
Yeah, it's it definitely giving fire festival a little bit. You know what I'm saying? If I flew to Vegas for this shit, because I actually thought about going to this myself. Mm-hmm. But if I flew to Vegas going to this shit, yeah, you damn right.
And it's been a cut. Like I don't know. Maybe it's just a few bad things. But like I did see a couple artists have an issue. Like,
oh yeah,
put me on this flyer.
Oh yeah, y'all
send a check.
There were people said that.
That seems to be a common thing.
Yeah, they put because that thing with Lover. Yeah, I think that's definitely a thing with Lover and Friend. They put a like 50 artists on this book for this venue or book for this concert, and then I think they only without confirming it seems like I think I know Monica was somebody who said like Mary J. Blige was another one who was like wait a minute I don't know about all that. I mean all the
other some rappers too.
Yeah, I think not
the Method Man.
I don't know. It was new. It was somebody else. Yeah. So a couple people was like, "Wait a minute, I'm not confirming people." Yes. Yeah.
So they sound like they up to some shady business.
It does seem that way a little bit.
And
bottom line is,
it sounds like I guess it's canceled
for this year. Yes, and there's no plan to reschedule it for this year. Obviously.
I mean, look, it made America.
I wonder how the ticket.
Yeah, that's another thing. Made America hasn't done anything in 2 years. A year. Well, it's going on a year too.
Jay-Z.
So I don't know. It's weird because like. Obviously, festivals are still a big thing post-COVID. Like, you know, I think COVID obviously happened, right? So that definitely initially, when shit was a lot, you know, when the rules were a little more strict with social distancing and all that, that played a heavy impact on like concerts and
that Travis Scott shit did too.
Oh yeah.
That changed
the whole game, right? You know, Astroworld was crazy.
Oh my god!
You think about, you know,
and
what
that
saying?
Was the year Christmas was supposed to go.
Yeah, my brother was supposed to go to a concert, but they didn't. Well, enough. But yeah, but point being, I think so with music festivals in general, right? Like, I guess the question is like, you know, where do we go from here? A and then like, you know, B, like, you know, it are they still like feasible in this market today? Right? Yeah, I would say
not
yes.
The way that shit was set up. There's no way you can have 1,000 artists perform in one day, even if it is multiple stages. Why would you want to break up your audience like that? Because everybody's performing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could have, if you have at least the multiple days, you could have some hot artists performing in the morning on Friday, and then some regular artists.
Yeah, I literally got the stage lineup pulled up right.
That's
here.
Ridiculous.
It's like the lover stage, the friend stage, the crunk stage, the bling stage,
yeah.
The pop stage. So it's like five different stages.
I just feel like the way the shit was set up, they already knew it wasn't really going to happen.
I think it seems like this event is clearly like it's still in its infant stages and it's not very organized. Because even like the one that happened the year, I think last year or the year before, people there was a common complaint about them not having enough like water bottles for people. Because, you know, obviously that's a big part of concert, like, well, these festivals, right?
Yeah, the element of standing in the field.
But also, you know, like a lot of these concerts, like even Coachella to a certain extent, the artists are its own draw, but it's also what, like, celebrities and social media, I'm not going to say the word influencers. But those social media people, like, they make it an experience. You know?
Oh, yeah,
like, they make it like you have to come to the
event. And I will say, I've always said, like, you know, in my lifetime, I would at least like to go to a music festival once in my lifetime just to see what the experience is like. And, you know, I think that's I think it could be a cool thing. You know, just for me, it's just like, you know, just being...
I feel like millennials love that shit anyway. Like, we used to watch MTV and BET and see those Woodstock festivals.
Yes, Woodstock.
MTV Spring
Cancun and Break. Yeah, we all, like, and then when we got to the age to actually do that shit, it was not happening.
Yeah, MTV Spring Break and BET Spring Bling. Like, you know,
I still like the concept of doing them now. We're older and we actually have money to go.
Right.
But I feel like that shit, the way it was set up from the jump, it was on some, we about to get these niggas. There's no way in hell you do a festival that large for one day.
Right.
Hell no. In Vegas, hell no.
Yeah, 24
hell
hours.
Hell no.
And I don't even know if Vegas is like... I don't know. I guess I've never been to Vegas myself, but I don't know if like... I'm assuming this brings a lot of money to them when it actually pops off and successful. But I don't know if like Vegas is a great place to have these kind of concerts, like festivals, because like, you know... what I know about Vegas weather is like it's definitely unpredictable. I guess when I was reading from people who actually live in Vegas, that wind advisors are common, like wind storms are a thing there.
It's very unpredictable. When I was in Vegas, the high was 6 to 7.
Dang.
Wow.
So.
You know, is that the takeaway?
I was going to say, so what's the takeaway from
Vegas weather?
Can I give a pre-takeaway?
Go ahead.
A breakaway?
My pre-takeaway is to one singer Tank. And to quote a great rapper, I hate the way that you walk. I hate the way that you talk. I hate the way that you dress. If I see you shots on this podcast, it's going to be direct. And that is it. Yes, he did. To this day. Yes, he did. And I understand he don't know who I am, but our beef will be forever until I come across him.
Hey, can we get an invite to the R&B Money podcast?
Listen.
Yes, facts.
Listen. Tank, we will forever have smoke. I know you know who I am, but we will forever have smoke until I see you.
Yo,
they're going to
be best of friends.
Yo, I was going to say, he's going to be the nicest guy.
They're
going
to be the best of friends.
Yo, oh my God.
All right, so I guess, you know, the takeaway is don't do new concerts because it's hard to make that shit work. I don't know what to tell you.
It's not just something you can just throw together.
They mean downsize.
Hey, imagine y'all like going on whatever social media platform of y'all choice, and you're just aimlessly scrolling, and someone's like, "Yeah, DJ Melodies is coming to my party," and you're like, "Wait, no,
what?
I ain't even agree to this shit. What you mean?
Scam."
That's why T.I. showed up at that club and started tearing signs down. He like, "Yo,
and then
look."
And they performed the next day.
Yeah, he wasn't playing with him.
He went there the next day and did something with him, but I'm guessing he was okay with it because he got paid.
Oh, he wowed him out. He was like, "Yo, basically, I need to pay me. I'm talking about doing all this."
Right,
and I guess he's sending that check.
People are such scumbags, yo. Jesus Christ.
People be scamming, man.
God. Right. Is it really that hard to just like live without scamming people? Like, it's that fucking hard?
Scammers be out there.
They said inflation is up, man. So.
Like, they're going to make people call your
shit,
phone.
Trigger word.
I feel
how he feel about Tank.
Yo, can we acknowledge that the full Baltimore just came out of DJ Melody? She's like, "Bitch!" But she was talking about inflation. Hey, she meant that from her soul, bro.
Bitch with a capital B. And why do we pause on the
We want you to know.
Yeah, it was so much emphasis on that. She felt that from her soul, bro. I quote all of that, man. She was not playing with y'all out here.
All that beast smoke. All
right, stop making these fake ass music festivals. Okay. And we're back. So, our last topic for today after the festival shenanigans is the 4-day work week versus the 6-day work week. Now, some of y'all out there might be saying, "Well, wait a minute. I work 5 days. What the fuck are y'all talking about, Beer Plants Podcast?" Well, let me tell you. So,
there's been a reference to all of us.
Smoking like a true infomercial.
Reference to all of us.
Right. Click through my Lex 15 videos so I can get engagement as I explain this to you. But
we'll reply to your comments.
And sign up for our monthly subscription. But, so essentially, there have been some set of companies that have said, "Hey, we found when experimenting that we get more productivity out of 4-day work weeks versus normal traditional 5-day work week." Now, the premise that they aim to go with is when they say 4-day, they mean 4-day, 32-hour work weeks.
Hey.
What?
Don't make it no matter.
But you have some enterprising people that are saying 4-day, 10-hour days, so 40-hour work.
Oh yeah, I see what you said.
Now I have a backstory that I have an experience with that.
Okay.
You know, but that's a whole other thing. Now I read an article in passing that I shared with the group chat that was talking about some companies saying, "Look, y'all lazy ass bitches need to get in, and y'all need to do these 6-day work weeks." The prominent company that I've seen mentioned a lot is Samsung. So apparently, like, the execs in South Korea feel like Samsung hasn't been innovative enough. You know, they want to make sure that they maintain their market share or increase their market share dominance. And so what they did was they mandated that their, like, higher-ups, you know, like their senior executives, start working 6-day work weeks in order to rectify the situation.
Start micromanaging other people.
But what's happening is this: is that like what this article is talking about is it's picking up steam. And no, I'm not going to reference the article for you,
please. Thank you.
That want the
we don't want to pick bibliography up more steam.
And shit. We out of school, so fuck y'all. But what they've been doing Google. Is what's been happening is people have been other companies have been saying like, look, we want to build revenue, so we want to start putting people to work 6 days a week. We want to implement 6-day work weeks instead of 5-day work weeks. But hey, we're going to pay you guys more requisite to the amount of time. So it's all good. Like whatever your salary busts down to as an hourly rate, we're going to pay you that for the extra day each week. I personally think that shit is toxic and some bullshit. But, you know, we can go ahead and discuss it. What do you guys think about that? And we can throw the 5-day work week in there. I think the 5-day work week is a bit outdated, but 4-day versus 6-day work week. What are y'all thoughts?
Let's 4-day.
Well, it depends on what you're doing. It's like, what are you doing?
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Well, first of all,
I know people who do like 4-day. I know people who have like a 4-day work week, but yeah, they're doing the 10-hour. And you know, 10 hours. So it still equals out to 40 hours a week, which,
right? But they do it on 4 days.
Yeah, and they do it for 40. They do it for 4 days, and people I know, they seem to prefer that because when they were trying to get like, I don't want to be too put away out there, but I do remember they were like, all I'll say is this: I think it was a time where it was proposed they switched to 5-day, and it was heavy opposition.
So I'll put it up. I'll put something out there because I don't give a fuck. I used to work for Verizon back.
That's when I used to have a discount on my phone bill.
Thank you for my T-Mobile sidekick back.
Oh, shit, that discount.
I think I got all y'all motherfuckers' phones except for Flash.
But then you see, like a drug dealer, you gave me a taste of the iPhone, and I'm like, I have to have the iPhone for the rest of my life. Hey, I'm addicted.
Shout out to that motherfucker that was unlocking iPhones.
That's
back
right.
On eBay. But anyway.
I'm addicted.
Pause, maybe?
Spoken like a true Drake fan. Just saying.
Juicy Drake. Mm-hmm. But anyway. All right, so. When I worked at Verizon, our general manager and one of the assistant managers, they was looking at the metrics for the store. Like the queue depth, wait times, customer satisfaction scores, stuff like that. And what they found was that, so we used to have opening, mids, and close schedules. Mm-hmm. And what they found was that our highest dissatisfaction and our lowest sales metrics came during the times of changeover, when like schedules mm-hmm. would like overlap. So what they decided was, okay, what if we went to 10-hour shifts, but everyone gets 3 days off. But in that, because in doing that, it would actually eliminate, it would lower wait. We thought that the theory was it would lower wait times and it would increase, you would eliminate that entire mid-shift, which mm-hmm. open and close, mm-hmm. and it would increase customer satisfaction. So what they did that, but they implemented it without telling the higher-ups because they knew the higher-ups would be like, fuck no. Here's what happened. Everything happened. Sales went up. Commission payouts went up because everybody's working more money. Customer satisfaction went up. Mm. Employee satisfaction went up. And our store went to number one in the region. So what happened was we kept doing it because there was literally nothing to hire ups to say because we was doing numbers. But the second they promoted that general manager out of that store, the district manager, they killed all that shit. And it had nothing to do with metrics. It was all about, we said, it's 5 days. And it feels like a lot of that comes down to this. It feels like a lot of it is control. A lot of the return to office, quote-unquote, initiatives, a lot of the when you work and how long you work and all that has to do with control. It's not about getting your work done. It's beyond that.
Right.
Yeah. Because I do think that a lot of people tend to get their work done in less than 40 hours. For a lot of white collar jobs, because the blue collar jobs are different.
Obviously.
On-call jobs are different, mm-hmm. all that sort of thing. But like, all right, so I'm a software engineer. As a software engineer, I can tell you for a fact that like a lot of software engineers, sorry, fellow software engineers, I'm snitching on y'all, but aha. But a lot of software engineers depend on the fact that their higher-ups aren't technical enough to know what the fuck they're talking about. So they'll say, like, yeah, I think it'll take me, like, 5 days to implement this. It'll take, like, a day and a half. You know what I'm saying? But because...
I should stay telling my supervisor, it's going to take 5 days.
Yeah. Right, right.
I ain't about to rush me.
And motherfuckers take your word at it because they don't know. But I think a lot of it is a control thing. During the pandemic, there was a swing towards the workers, to the employees.
Finally. Yep.
Salaries went up. Like, the demand for jobs went up. Employee satisfaction, I think, went up as well. I might be wrong. Quote me, you know, definitely correct me if I'm wrong.
I think, I don't know the exact science, but I definitely know, like, with the transition for remote work, like, yeah, I can, for, cause I think what that exposed was that, you know, for some of these jobs, a good amount of these jobs, like, you really don't need to be in the office.
Are we, like, the first generation that really gave a fuck about that work-life balance? Like, we actually want to be home and with our family?
I don't think so, but I think...
The higher-ups just hate their fucking life.
We're the first ones, I think, to be vocal
about. No, I don't even think that. I think that we're the first ones to be able to test it. Yeah, you know I mean? Because, like, you imagine, I'm sure they felt this way 20 years ago, but... Internet wasn't as big of a thing 20 years ago.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, COVID wasn't there either. So,
yeah,
like...
Yeah. COVID was a once-in-a-century thing, but
That was the nail to show you that you ain't got to be in the office to do the dumbass shit.
Can I ask a bigger question?
What's that?
And I think that, like... And I agree with everything you said, Vinny, but my bigger thing is, as a worker, why should I give a fuck about how this company does overall when you don't show me you give a fuck about how I do overall?
Well, let me... Let me ask you a question, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get stock options in your current company?
No.
Then the answer is you shouldn't give too much. Like, I'll give you a perfect lower level example. When I was in high school, I worked at Subway.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the tuna sandwich, for a 6-inch, you got 2 scoops of tuna.
Right.
They would prefer that you scoop it along the little thing that the tuna was in, whatever. On a foot long, you get 4 scoops.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody asked for a tuna sub, and I would do, they scoop.
So, y'all, the reason I got food poisoning, basically. But go ahead.
No. But, like, so, like, let's say someone got a 6-inch and I would give them 2 scoops. If someone would look at me and be like, can I get one more scoop? You sure can. Yeah. You know why?
$2.45
I don't have equity in this company. Yeah. I don't think. So, like, the short answer is no, you shouldn't give a fuck.
Okay.
Would your employer say, of course you should give a fuck. Of course you should give us 2 weeks, but if we lay you off, we're not going to give you the same courtesy.
Yep. Right.
Of course, you should go get a four-year college degree in order to do this shit, even though we're going to teach you our way of doing this shit when you get here.
Yep.
Like,
so I mean, I think that's
when you got student loans starting at $1.20.
Yes. So I mean, to answer your question about the work life balance and all of that, and I know we had multiple conversations on that. I think the ultimate thing, what it comes down to, is especially now I've seen it more and more. Like, yo, as a worker, you haven't shown me that you'll give me the same love if I show you. And I think that's the difference between now versus back then. Like, yo, I'll work for 20 years. But I know at the end of that, I get a pension and I'm taken care of for the rest of my life. But what's happening now is you got dudes that'll work for 18 years and then you'll cut them and do the layoffs. And then you're like, oh, well, sorry, you just stuck, even though I gave you 18 years of my life.
Even with that, Steve Harvey has such a good point about what you were just talking about. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't believe in this 40-hour week fucking bullshit. He said that when you get 65,
mm-hmm.
like, say you live in a paycheck to paycheck, right? They're going to give you a third of what you can't live on now. And they're going to set you out to pasture. They're going to give you a turkey and say, adios. Have fun with your life.
Yep. And the scary thing to think about now is we might not even have that by the time we get to that.
What? Think about that.
No one
shit.
In this room getting Social Security that y'all paying into.
Yeah. Think about that shit. Think about that. That's a promise.
I think you'll get it, but it'd be such a high number.
That's a promise that America gave you. You're gonna work your entire life, but like when you get old enough to not even enjoy it, you'll be taken care of. And now they're saying.
Nah.
Hey, wait.
What?
And I'm
y'all
not going to
y'all want to really put y'all tinfoil hats on?
No, yeah. Oh, can I say this real quick?
What does that
and
mean?
All I'm going to say is
conspiracy.
Yeah. So I'm not going to get into too much detail on about it because y'all done heard my spill about it. But my thing is, that's how I feel. I feel like voting and everything else is so important because the reality of it is, they're not going to do anything about it until we do anything about it as a collective. But Flash, and it's going to take a lot more people to deal with it as far as holding them accountable. Because if they hold accountable, they're going to keep doing it. Flash, so we got to be the ones who hold them accountable.
Flash, the motherfuckers that you voted for, motherfuckers you voted for, is doing shit that you didn't vote for them to do.
But here's the thing.
They banning your precious TikTok.
But hold on. You're right. But you also have people that you can put up independently, like an AOC. You know what I'm saying? AOC's like, hold on. You do your thing, right?
Here we go.
So, what I was saying was, AOC, vote on with independent money, with private money, not from the corporations. Uh-huh. So, therefore, she doesn't owe them anything. You know what I'm saying? You got people like Bernie Sanders. Do your thing. But like a similar thing. So my point being is that we need people like that that are independent. We need to get people like that in office so that we don't owe these big corporations numbers. So that way we can hold a say. Because if we don't do that, then we're not going to have a say when they start making these moves. And that's what gets us messed up because they're like, yeah, I know. They know that we're not going to sit back. They know we're going to fuss and complain. But at the end of the day, we're going to do the exact thing that we need, that they need us to do. So until we can hold them accountable and get people in the office that want to hold them accountable, ain't nothing we going to be able to do about it. We can sit back and fuss about a four-day work week all day. But guess what? Tomorrow, you can go to a five-day work week jobs and go back to the same thing. Yeah, it's not until you hold them accountable. And the only way you really do that right now is getting more people in there to speak for us. Is it a fight? Yes. But that's really your best option right now if you really feel a way about that.
Before you even look that up, what have I always said about politics and everything? I said, you gotta look out for your motherfucking self. You know what I'm saying? I do not understand what people are looking for. No, throw that in the trash. Yeah. I do not understand this utopia people are looking for. You know what I'm saying? Like, we are so blessed to be in a world where we can venture out to different things and not have to work 40 hours. In fact, work 40 hours to pay the bills, but then work another job for enjoyment. You know what I'm saying? And then not have to worry about working this 40 hours at some point. Like, you gotta work. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta work.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the misdirect with the higher ups talking about the 6-day work week and employees. You got this one generation that doesn't want to work. The employees, especially since COVID, nobody wants to work anymore.
How do you know?
You see it everywhere. Every place is hiring.
Okay,
that's crazy.
They're not really hiring though.
Are they hiring?
Speaking of somebody who's been sending her resume out for months now.
So let me tell you this.
But wait, send it out to where though?
Oh, she get my email too. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Let me tell you something.
Send it out to where though?
All different type of jobs.
I know people who are like qualified to be directors in engineering organizations who now took jobs as senior software engineers because they spent 10, 11 months job hunting and got to the point where they had to just accept two levels lower. So two things to the higher end thing. All right. Y'all ready for y'all tinfoil hats? Mm-hmm. This is actually different from when I said y'all ready for y'all tinfoil
hats. Here I go.
All right. Sweet. So
I disagree with him, sir.
So
he has a
tan
on his head.
I can't. So
aluminum foil.
So a jobs report recently came out. When y'all hear this, it'll probably be like 2 weeks ago. Hey, that's impressive.
I'm a princess.
So spoken like a true Drake fan.
Yep.
Drake, check me out. But
you,
anyway,
you look at my nails.
You predictable prick.
Coming live from the motherfucking north side. But anyway, so the jobs report came out. At this point, when this is released, will probably be 2-3 weeks from when we're recording, or from when this is released.
Nothing would have changed.
But nothing was the same. But
you know, you just can't see the views. That's all. You know what I'm saying? You can't see the views.
You don't even understand this is God's
way. Hey, you just in your feelings.
You're looking real forsaken right now, but
is it over?
You know what? I know we boys, but I should be nice to you for what?
Like, I think this is in your DNA.
Again, like, why'd you flip your wrist when you said that?
Hey, what did you say?
I said, why'd you flip your wrist when you said that, though?
Wow, I said, wow. You know what, yo? You know I'll stop, though. You know I'll stop wearing it, though.
I'm upset.
But I bet he is upset. He better be upset. Get to them right in the bars.
Just talking in all Drake titles.
And Kendrick, too.
Oh, no, yeah, I was saying. I thought you had a Kendrick bar.
I mean, I could have, but it's just funny to use Drake's bottles against him.
Listen, man.
Can't escape this shit.
All I'm trying to say.
Can we say you got to slide out of this?
Yo, that shit is not in your DNA.
That's Kendrick. Good job. Know, you're right. Yeah. You're right. It's not in his DNA. You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. It is not his DNA.
At the end of the day, all I'm trying to say is, if Pyrus and Crips all got along.
You probably got me down by the end of this song.
But no. All right. So there are theories that a lot of companies are...
People are asking so mad right now. Hey, yo, hold up.
Who knew about it is?
Hey, yo, hold up, though.
We can't have a serious conversation.
You glad we got our videos. Hey, yo.
What's going on?
Hey, yo. Looking like a real bad chick out here. Looking like a real baddie out here.
Let me try to describe this. What I see right now... is a picture on Instagram. It says, so this is what Kendrick was saying, !
He did say hands on your knees, too. Oh, yeah, Drake did say hands on your knees.
To the line where Drake was, where he was saying Drake would probably bust ass with sexy rap. That's pretty
funny. He definitely said hands on your knees. I got a whole high heels right. on.
But anyway, back to the serious shit for a second.
For just
a brief second. Yeah. So there's a job. So like there are theories that companies will post jobs without any intention of hiring.
There's
ghost job posts. No,
that's crazy.
This is legit. Here's why. So what happens is that if you're not posting any jobs as a company, investors will begin to wonder like why you aren't growing, and it can impact your stock. It can impact your stock price.
Yeah.
So they'll post jobs for two reasons. One, to make sure that their stock price stabilizes.
Mm-hmm.
And the second reason is because you can build a funnel that way. Mm-hmm. So if Mr. Brown is qualified for the post that I post, but I don't have an opening for him, I have him in my system now because he's put all his information in my system. So when I do get a job opening, what do? I reach out to Mr. Brown. It doesn't matter that he's still job hunting for 6-8 months down the road. What matters is that the perception of the company is that we're constantly growing. So the CEO gets on a call with investors at the end of each quarter, they can say that.
Yep.
So that is kind of...
That's definitely a thing.
That's
kind of... So yeah, when it comes to
corporation, I didn't know that.
So here's the takeaway. I'm going to steal this for a second. Here's the takeaway.
So my logic question is, if I'm an employee, why should I care about that?
You shouldn't.
Okay.
You want that? Listen, here's the thing. Understand this. See, y'all about to get me on my soapbox. Listen.
He's triggered, man.
Right.
Employment is a business transaction.
Yes.
That's it. Fuck that family shit. I don't give a fuck if they got a slide at your job.
I said like, the same like thing. Said, I feel you.
Like Google has and all of that. It is business.
Yeah.
That's why they lay you off. That's why they can lay you off with the quickness. Absent. Like, listen.
Give no fucks
I come
about
from
it.
The ilk of... Listen, the one thing that I do give Verizon props for teaching me is it is business at the end of the day. I seen them motherfuckers walk people out with 22 and a half years on a Friday afternoon. 2.5 years away from their pension with the when somebody got that red folder in their hand at 5 o'clock on a Friday.
Yeah, it should be a law against that.
Laid the fuck off.
It should be a law against that. That's crazy.
So, always, Rogers, because they always remember what Joe Rogan said.
I give you somebody that gave 30 years. I worked for a hospital and they got laid off. Yeah, I mean, it's like, come on, bro.
You know,
like,
they don't care how long you work.
No, I was just saying. Always remember what Joe Rogan says when it comes to a job, yeah, you know.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, seriously, always remember like when you're looking for work and you're looking for jobs and stuff, just always remember what Joe Rogan says, yo. Like they're gonna promise you a family, you know, work life balance. They're gonna promise you, you know, competitive pay, promise you a healthy work life. They're going to promise you pension, all this kind of stuff. Why? Because they want people to work for them.
You know what's crazy? I don't even hear companies talking about work-life balance anymore. I ain't had no recruiter talk to me about work-life balance since in the last year and a half. And that's because they don't have to. They have the leverage. I had a company.
Wait, can I say one thing, though?
No, let me say something real quick. I don't even want to say the name. It's not who we're talking about. But I don't even want to say the name that fantasy of work life balance. If you want a sustainable life, right? A life where you can have a good income and have a great life. There's no such thing as work-life balance.
No, it is.
I know you personally, for what you do, there's no such thing as work-life balance.
But that's
you
different.
You work.
That's
me
different.
Too. Me too.
No, so let me say this.
All right, it's not different, but what you're talking about doesn't line up with
the
conversation we're talking about as far as like employee W-2 employees and 4-day versus 6-day work.
And I'll say
so,
this.
But that
I'll
goes to that. My point of you always got so...
Can I say this real quick?
Yeah, though? Yeah, go ahead.
And, I mean, this is really with any job and career that you want.
And flash right the last point.
All right.
I mean, yes, it's a lot of hurdles, a lot of stuff out there to get you, but, like, I hate quoting Charlamagne because I'm not a fucking but one of the things I will give
Charlamagne
him...
Charlamagne the Flash.
Charlamagne. All
right. One thing I'll give him credit for is the one thing he said, which I agree with. He was like, you don't get what you deserve. You get what you negotiate.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it's like,
very good point.
Yo, if your qualifications and the stuff you get built up with are well enough and good enough, then you can kind of help dictate what your terms are, because these companies will use and abuse you as much as they can. So that being said, I mean, the best advice I can give people coming up is get your, and I know it's easier said than done, but this is honestly the best advice I can give you, is get your weight up as best you can. So you can dictate the terms that you are negotiating employment on. So that way you can get the best type of balance that you can. But if you don't do that, then you're subject to the will of the employees, and they'll tell you to do whatever is beneficial for them, not what's beneficial for you. So don't go into an agreement thinking they're going to have your best interest at heart.
But don't
dictate your terms for you.
But don't you think, but what's the other side of that? Like, you know, if you're already not even trying to display yourself as a good employee, you have nothing to go.
So I'll say this, right? And not again, I'm just using this as an example.
I'm going to say this. No, give me one second. Mm-hmm. I'm going to fuck your head up for a second.
Yeah.
Your success in corporate America don't got shit to do with whether you're a good employee.
I'm not even talking about corporate America. Because I definitely understand. I understand what you're saying.
Your success in business doesn't have anything to do with whether you're a good employee. Skill means nothing. Think about R&B groups.
Mm-hmm.
Who's
the weird joke? But okay,
walk with me. I know. Walk with me for a second, though.
Leads. I love what you say.
The lead is, name a group. Name an R&B group you can think of where the lead singer is the best singer. Exactly. The lead singer.
Wait,
is the
Drew Hill.
Jazz is classically trained. His voice shits on Cisco, and I am a Cisco fan. Shits on Cisco. So the reason
I'm walking with him. The reason I say that
is because it's about the value you can bring, and the value you can bring isn't always skill. It's almost never skill. It's all perception. It's kind of like the thing that I sent you where the dude was talking about how he did like a sort of like a lease thing for some trucks in order to do the Amazon partner program.
He made it sound very easy.
It's not easy, but it's like when it comes to business, that shit is dispassionate. It's neutral. It has nothing to do with feelings. It ain't got nothing to do with if I give a fuck about you. One of the best lessons I learned is I can fire you today and we can go to happy hour that same day and talk about how you feel and what your next moves are.
Vinny's 100% right. And the only thing I would say is the question that you will ask yourself as you're going up or getting employment, the one thing you ask yourself is how replaceable are you? Like to that same group, like with Cisco and Drew Hill.
Yeah.
You're right. Cisco yes. may not be the best singer, but good luck replacing Cisco if Cisco leaves. Exactly.
No pun intended. Hold on a second.
But facts though.
Is that not my point?
Great song.
Why Cisco was very hard to replace as a. Who said Jazz is the best singer? Was that you?
I did. I stand on that.
Okay, so Jazz is the best singer. Great.
But he's replaceable. Highly replaceable.
Because Jazz, who's the hardest? Who's the hardest working person in Drew Hill, though?
Cisco, but that apparently doesn't mean he's the best singer.
No, no, yeah. But that's not the, that's not
Nokia was point. Running stuff.
That's not the point. Yeah. That's not the point. My point is
has tattooed on his.
Look, who's that?
Nokia. We can go down the line.
No, no, I don't want to say
who was the best singer in NSYNC.
JC.
Exactly. Was he the lead singer?
No.
Exactly.
Boy, Cody.
So who? But who was the hardest work? It's all.
But that's the point. Wait, so who was replaceable?
Being the hardest worker.
Being the hardest worker. No, I don't give a
fuck. I don't give a fuck if you a dishwasher, yo. I'm telling you, that's my whole point. And I ain't really. I'm not saying that I did this in my 20s. I worked with you in my 20s. Mm-hmm. Was I the hardest worker there? Fuck no.
Neither one of us was.
Right. But my point is, and we were very, it was very hard to replace us.
Hold on, but to that point though, right? Like, here's the thing. I will say that when you were working, one of the things you had that a lot of people didn't, some people did, some people didn't.
Sure.
But one of the things you had was that you got people under control. When they were wilding out.
Right.
So, like, to their point, it's like, yo, yeah, everybody can't do that. You know what I'm saying? So, it's like, yeah, you may do some other shit that they don't agree with, mm-hmm. but it's like, when we need this done, mm-hmm. we know that we can call you. Everybody can't do that.
Oh, right. You know what I'm saying? And I appreciate you saying that. My point being is people want their, even older people that just grow up in this age, they want the reward. Nobody, everybody wants to go to heaven, but don't want to go through hell. And that's ridiculous. If you're a dishwasher,
you shouldn't have to. That's a whole other.
No, that's a whole other. That's not true. That's not true. If you're a dishwasher, why not be the best dishwasher? No one wants to be a dishwasher, but maybe be the best dishwasher that you can be.
So
for yourself.
Do you think Donald Trump is?
Wait.
Man, one more question.
I stole with me for a second. Give me a second. Hear me. I got a question for you.
Sure.
How good of a software engineer do you think Elon Musk is today? This motherfucker is the CEO of a company that puts rockets on the moon that are reusable.
Do you think Donald Trump ever washed dishes?
No.
Exactly.
You think
he
worked for Brown?
No, it ain't. It's so.
He a business man that washed dishes.
It's about this.
You give
yourself enough skills, that's cool. But the skills ain't shit.
Yeah.
You can be right. The most skilled motherfucker in the world. The skills ain't shit if you don't understand how to market and how to leverage yourself so that you can build demand
absolutely.
For yourself.
Very
so,
true.
So
very
it's not
true.
About
so
being
are you not the so not, so don't so okay. If you're gonna market yourself.
Because being skilled
you're the
best
marketer that you can be. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. You have to work hard at something. You can't just I definitely understand. You don't want to give yourself to a machine. That's your point, right? You don't want to give yourself to a corporate cog. I understand that. I'm saying for you personally, if you're going to show up to work, right? Because you never. My thing is always, you never know who's watching. You never know who's noticing what you do. But also, it gives you a great sense of pride as a worker. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to.
Assuming that's enough for you.
Exactly.
What's that?
Exactly.
That's enough for you.
Because
yeah,
here's the thing.
But that could translate to other things.
So, Cash,
I don't know what Elon Musk did as his first job ever. I don't know the motherfucker.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So, let's say that you bust tape.
I thought we were wrapping this up.
We are. 2 minutes. Last point to flash.
So, let me ask you a question, right?
Yes.
Let's say you bust tables, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, as you're busting tables, you bust every table as hard as you can, and you leave it spotless.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, for every table that you bust, you get $5, right?
Mm-hmm.
For every table that's bust for the person that owns the restaurant, he gets $500.
Say that one more time.
So, let's say that for every... I'll change. So, say every table you bust, mm-hmm. you get $5, mm-hmm. right? But for every table you bust, the person that owns that restaurant gets paid, we'll say $500.
Okay.
And he comes to you like, you a good worker. You great, boy. You doing it. Keep doing what you doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you busting every table. Every time you get paid those five, he gets paid that $500. You wouldn't feel away about that if you somehow found out what the pay difference was?
Of course you're going to feel away about it. But my thing.
And let's say, and that's also, and just to complicate it more, let's say that you're the only one that knows how to bust tables. Not that you're replaceable. Let's say that you're the only one that knows how to bust tables.
It's scarcity.
Right. Mm. So you don't think that it's fair that you get a higher wage because you know how to do what you do, and he's getting paid crazy money, even though you getting underpaid crazy, but even though you're the only one that knows how to do what you do.
Okay.
You don't think that's fair? Okay. You're unfair?
All right. So, well, first of all, don't ever use the word fair with me. Life ain't fair. So that goes out the window.
But what do you do about that, though? You know what I'm saying?
That goes out the window automatically. There's no such thing as fair. But stop with, there's no such thing as fair.
But should you just take that?
No, but what I'm saying, this is what I'm saying. Because you got to look, let's look past the busing tables, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's talk about you for a second,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
You are a person. You are a person.
I try to be.
I'm laughing because I know where he's about to go.
Okay,
no, I'm just going to say that you're a person. Yes, you're absolutely. You're a person that's passionate about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right? When you were working at where we worked at,
mm-hmm.
you were great at it.
Mm-hmm.
You worked hard at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't get paid a great wage.
Mm-hmm.
That internalizes in yourself to work hard at the next job that you actually care about.
Nah.
Or actually, no.
I can tell you 100%. The only difference between what I do now versus what I did when we was working together is that if I don't do what I need to do now, people are directly affected by it. Versus back then, like I can come in at 3:30. Or whatever the case is, and it'd be fine. You know what I'm saying? But worst case scenario, somebody just gets an attitude and we keep it moving. Like, the difference now, if I mess up or forget something, somebody could possibly lose their life.
Well, so, like, it's a big difference. Let's keep it on a simpler level. You were scheduled to work whenever.
Mm-hmm.
You showed up, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
That's more than most people do nowadays.
Yeah, but if I show up, let's look at it. So,
no.
So my thing is, but
that'll
me.
Be another 40 minutes. So let's wrap this.
Right. Right, but my thing is, there were people that now will. So we'll name names, but we'll name names off air. But there are people that showed up every day, did what they're supposed to do, and they didn't get any more appreciation for it than what we did. And I think that's kind of the problem. You know what I'm saying? Like your work ethic and what you bring to the table doesn't always get honored by the bigger companies because they don't have to.
That's very true. You're absolutely right. But what about you yourself?
But again, me personally.
What about you looking in the mirror and saying, you know what?
I'm gonna be honest.
I get paid. I don't get paid the best way, but I know that I did a good job.
I'm gonna be honest.
And that's gonna translate to when I do. Again, I don't want to. Apparently, Melody's having a problem with Joe Rogan, but like
I like Joe Rogan.
Okay, good. When you he said when you work extremely hard at something you hate, how much easier is it to work extremely hard at something you love?
But here's the thing, and I'm not taking away nothing from that. But here's the thing, I've seen people that have worked for that's cool, but I've seen people work 18 years at a job and then lose all of their pensions behind a 401k that tanked, and the company ain't got no answer for you. I done seen people work, you got a 20-year retirement, and you got the year 17, and they fire you off something stupid because they don't want to pay you your pension.
Right.
So my thing is, I hear you, but my thing is, when you meet them there, companies don't always show you that same love back. So my only point being is that once you meet your end,
right,
and you see, and when you see people meet their end of the bargain, and other people will meet their end of the bargain, it makes you not want to meet your end because you see what they do to people that do meet their end. And that's how a lot of the country is feeling right now. It was like, yo, I can give you these years, but what are you going to give me to show for it?
Right.
And if they feel like you're not getting nothing to show for it, then why am I working all these years? And I think that's why people are trying to be influencers and everything else.
I absolutely agree with you. And I'll tell you what. I'm sorry. I know that I'm going past it too. Why are you looking at me?
What?
I absolutely understand. And I absolutely understand. I encourage people all the time to embrace the gift that God gave you. If you're good at you're good at being a tough person, that translates to you being great in the field of EMT, right?
Mm-hmm.
My man over here, the greatest at trips ever, mm-hmm. right?
Trip King.
One day he's gonna be the guy to go to for trips.
Mm-hmm.
Melody's over here, has talent for me.
Superwoman, I do all the shit.
I hear that. Big energy over here.
She's great at cloud chasing. My man Vinny over here. He can drink you under the table. All I'm saying, but my point.
Melly said you still owe us them shots. Like, yo.
Melody, listen, when I log into Nelnet, it says that Melody's was wrong.
All I'm saying is that I didn't realize until much later in life, if I worked much harder at the things that I hated, I'm telling you, I understand what you're saying. You don't work hard to be a cog.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying for yourself,
mm-hmm.
because it's going to pay out later in life.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what you want to do in life, you know what I'm saying? Like it sucks to be a busboy, but if you be the best busboy you can be, that internal work ethic is going to stay with you for the rest of your life. You know what I'm saying? So
these degrees.
All I'm saying is
keep me.
She brings up degrees, right? So like. You don't want to be a busboy, right? So you're like, yo, fuck this shit. Like, I work extremely hard at being a busboy, and I get the scenario you said.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a bust my ass, man, to get this degree. Like, whether this degree gets me the payday I want is a different story. Mm-hmm. But I know me personally, I can look myself in the mirror and be like, yo, I work extremely hard. To get somewhere,
mm-hmm.
to get somewhere in this life. You know what I'm saying? That's it. That's all I'm saying. All
right. So I think the takeaway from this conversation is this. Work hard. Have a good work ethic. But also.
Keep one eye open.
Understand.
Keep one eye open. Absolutely.
Understand the three rules of business. Find the void. Fill the void. Count the money.
That's my dating life, actually.
Okay. I can see. Okay, okay. I see where you're going with that. That's another episode. All right, Bear Planet.
I don't even want him to explain.
So we want to. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, it really is.
But all right, Bear Planet. We want to thank you again for enjoying us on another engaging episode. 1 hour and 29-minute runtime. That's pretty good. I like that. That was a good run. I think it was pretty engaging. Be sure,
like Kendrick, we cut it down. But go ahead.
Be sure to follow. Be sure to continue to support us.
You know what?
On YouTube and social
honestly,
platform. Despite what Flash says, follow us on Instagram at The Beer Plans Podcast.
Family matters, man. I'll tell you.
Make sure you do like BRJOH 16 and follow Champagne Poppy. That feels weird to say about another grown man's Instagram account, but whatever.
You know what, Flat? I challenge you to 50 push-ups.
Drop and give me 50. But and also make sure you stay on the lookout for the Messy Shit YouTube channel. I'm just throwing it out in the air.
I ain't mad at that. I'm just putting it in the ether.
I think I like that.
I got visions.
Short clips.
I'd love to see that.
Messy clips.
Messy clips.
I like that.
Messy clips.
Let's go. All right. Until next time. I'm not mad at that.
Be on the lookout for messy clips, bitches.
Until next time, Beer Planners. Peace.
Peace.
Did Drake win?